In the power of the resurrection, let us pray together. Risen Lord Jesus, ascended to the Father, praying for us, hear our prayer that you would speak your word to us, that you would touch us and change our lives, that you would help us to live into your resurrection, anticipating the power of eternal presence with you, with the Father, with the Spirit forever, in whom we pray. Amen. As I turned on the radio this morning, the first two news articles related to death and taxes. Happy Easter. A woman was visiting the IRS because of an audit. Her husband had not prepared the taxes very well before he died. She was concerned. She was looking to the IRS auditor for some compassion and good news. He assured her that he was a person of faith, and he said to her, "I have some good news and some bad news. There is a resurrection, and you will see your husband again. But of the two problems that you have today, death is temporary." For those who are left behind, the distress of the vicissitudes of life, the taxes, the life that taxes us, the pain of all of that, the grief and the sorrow that we bear. For those who have gone on before us, the hope and the wonder of seeing them again as resurrected human beings, that is all of which we look forward today in our celebration of the resurrection. We look at life from both sides in the power of Jesus coming back from the dead. When we look at the one side and the side of life where we have to live because other people have gone on before, there is a temptation to wonder if the resurrection is really true, to romanticize it and sentimentalize it, to almost reduce it to Easter bunnies and eggs and treat it as a secular religion. In history, there were great movements of people who wanted to reduce the power of the resurrection and the risen Lord in body and in fullness of who he was to Gnostic ghosts and phantoms. But John goes into great detail about the crucifixion. He goes into great detail about the resurrection because John, of all of the gospel writers, wants us to get the full impact that Jesus in his full body really died and was really raised from the dead. This is good news for those of us who are left behind and good news for those of us who go ahead. When we look at those of us who are left behind, we look at this text and we see clearly that only God can resurrect from the dead. We cannot do it without God. A life without God here on earth doesn't make any sense in light of the resurrection. There is no eternal life and no eternal love without the presence of a loving God forever. The world often puts the whole responsibility of life upon us, as if we can make the whole thing happen without God. In a recent trip to California, I went and drove into a Pasadena parking garage, and the sign at the entry surprised me. It said simply, "Dwarf your troubles and magnify your blessings." As if to say, you have responsibility for your life in terms of everything that happens. You can control what you do with the good things and the bad things. No mention of God. Well, the resurrection affirms for us that, in fact, we cannot do this without the presence of God. Only God can raise people from the dead. Only God can raise Jesus Christ to eternal life. We have seen recently that there has been a resurgence of this interest in a gospel that has less than full-bodied awareness and impact. The National Geographic Society recently released an English translation of the Gospel of Judas. raising this up as another possible gospel that we need to attend to as an ancient text. But when you read the Gospel of Judas, you find out that Jesus is more interested in many gods and angels than he is in human beings and life that is good for them. He treats Judas as the only true disciple. The rest of the disciples never got it. And he gives to Judas the secret knowledge that he will need to be turned over to the Roman government because he needs to have his body, which is covering his spirit, to release his spirit through death. This has historically been known as Gnosticism. The emphasis is not on the physical resurrection of Jesus, but on the resurrection of Jesus as spirit and ghost, as phantom. Jesus didn't really come to us as flesh and blood, as the full-bodied man. Jesus came to us as merely a spirit of God. So the good news in this resurrection moment is that Jesus Christ, the real full-bodied person, was raised from the dead. It is Jesus, the full-bodied person whom Mary engages and encounters. It is the person who is touchable and knowable and nameable. On this Easter Sunday morning, it is important that we realize that Mary Magdalene gives us the understanding of what it means to live with the power of the resurrection this side of life and the hope of the resurrection in life to come. Mary understood better than most how much Jesus' life had meant to her. The gospel text says that she was a woman who had been possessed by 7 demons. It doesn't say what those demons are, but as we know, demons, things that control us in such a way that move us to do things that we choose not to do, that creates difficulty for our lives and pain for other people. Things that are driving us to do the wrong thing in this world. And Jesus cast out those 7 demons from her. She knew better than most what it means to live with the forgiveness of Jesus. And that gave her the freedom to follow Jesus in this life. She understood what it meant to be dead to sin and alive to the Messiah, to have her sins forgiven and to have evil exorcised from her life. She had experienced personally what it meant to have Jesus not judge her for her mistakes and her evil, but for Jesus to heal her and to send her off with forgiveness. Mary shows us that in eternity, Jesus is a great judge. But that judge is the Lamb who lays down his life for us. That judge is the Lord who is resurrected for us. That is a judgment by one who would rather die for us than hurt us. There is no condemnation in Jesus Christ, according to the Apostle Paul. Mary understood that herself, and she points to the eternal power of the resurrected Jesus as judge. I know sometimes we are tempted in our Christian finiteness to believe that we have the power to decide who should go to heaven or who should go to hell. We somehow, through our own thinking, believe that we can create the formula that decides and knows for sure that these people are going to make it and these people are not. But according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, only Jesus has the power to make those kinds of judgments. Only Jesus has the power to decide who is going to be in eternity in heaven with him and who is not. It is our power to proclaim the resurrection. It is Jesus' power to decide who's there. And Mary understood that proclamation was what she was called to do. Mary also understood that Jesus was always there with her in her grief. Jesus was the one who asked her, "Why are you weeping, woman?" Along with the angels and the presence of heaven coming to her saying, "Why do you weep? What is it about your feeling of this moment that moves you to tears?" And you want to say, "Come on, Jesus, don't you get it?" This has been a tremendous loss for Mary. She's lost her best friend. She's lost one who has shown her the way of life, one who has mentored her and guided her and protected her, One who has empowered her as a woman to do things that other women would not be able to do. Why are you weeping? The question comes to us today as a very important question because Jesus understands that we are a people who feel the grief. Not too long ago, I lost my mother-in-law. And I did pretty well in not giving over to the weeping side of things until I saw my two daughters and my wife break down in the memorial service out of sheer grief and loss. I was in the middle of talking about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, but before that happened, he had seen Mary crying, and it had been just too much for him, and he started crying himself. And wouldn't you know it, about that time, I just broke down. I couldn't say anything else because it was too much for me to see the pain of my daughters and my wife and the family gathered there, and so we all wept together. Jesus understands that. Jesus, in the power of the resurrection, asks the question, why are you weeping? But he understands in the intimate moment why we cry, because Jesus himself wept at the grave of Lazarus. Mary also shows us that there are some deep questions that we have. There are doubts that are true, mysteries that are real, and questions are good here in this moment of the resurrection. It's not as though you can walk in here on this Easter Sunday morning with no sense that there are mysteries that you have not yet defined or things that have not made sense to you. The validation of our limitations is affirmed here in the resurrection. There are things we just cannot know. There are things that will not be revealed to us for times to come. And what happens here is that eternity, through the voice of Jesus and the angels, breaks into our humanity and asks us the questions, who are you looking for? Why are you weeping? What's going on with you today? Where are you in your life? These are life-transforming questions. And so it is important today that you have the freedom to ask those questions. In intimate moments and places where you go today on the day of resurrection, do not hesitate to be with people with whom you are close and to ask these profound questions and wonder what the answers might be if Jesus were there to give you the answers. It is in his book, The Great Divorce, that C.S. Lewis has a man move from hell and take a sightseeing tour of heaven. And most of the book is wrapped up in his questioning of an angel and what heaven is really like. We have many questions. We have many doubts. There are mysteries to be defined. And today is the day that they must come forth along with the resurrection. It is good to wonder what it all means. A woman dying of brain cancer, I was able to meet with her on Fridays for several months. She was the one that introduced me to the book Tuesdays with Maury, and I started calling our times Fridays with Frida. She always wanted to talk about heaven. She knew she was dying, and there was no point in talking about all of the stuff of death. She could deal with that when I wasn't there. But when we got together, we wanted to talk about heaven. Much of that was speculative and wondering, full of questions and an amazement that God would create such an amazing place as heaven. She didn't want to talk about her pain. She wanted to talk about God who would raise her from the dead. The last time I saw her, she sat at a table in her backyard looking out over a sun that was setting, a beautiful evening. And I could just see it in her eyes that she was looking forward to the time when that sun would be coming up for her and wondering what that was going to be like. It reminded me of Genesis when at the beginning it was evening and morning of the first day. The ending of what happens in the creation of God is never night. It is always morning. And so this woman had questions about God that could only be answered in the morning. Mary also shows us that there is a significant mission that Jesus gives to her. A mission to talk to those that are still on this earth and to anticipate a relationship with those who had gone beyond. The mission was to go and tell the brothers of Jesus, his disciples, that he had risen and that she had seen him personally. Go to my brothers and sisters. Be an apostle. Tell them what you've seen and what you've experienced. Tell them about the conversation we've had. This is your mission, to experience and go and talk about it. And so today we have that responsibility. Not just to come here and worship and receive the resurrection as a gift, but to be sent out as people who are participating and have something to say, because we can talk about Jesus and the resurrection. God knows you by name as God knows Mary by name. This is an intimate gospel. It's a gospel that where Jesus wants to come close to you, wants to address you personally, and wants to raise you from the dead personally. Earl Palmer, in his book entitled The Intimate Gospel, says that there is no more clear demonstration of the love of Jesus Christ in the power of God than the Gospel of John. It plays out that wonderful, powerful statement of, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The resurrection is built in the love of God. God loves you, and there is a resurrection future for you. Today you are invited to take that seriously. Like Mary in the middle of the night at the tomb, to ask the questions of where the Lord is and what's happening, and to see Jesus face to face, up close and personal. For it is in that personal experience of the resurrected Christ that your life will change. So my prayer for you today is that you too, like Mary, might see Jesus, the resurrected Christ, up close and personal. May he address you by name. May he invite you to touch him and to sense the power of his resurrection. And may he send you out for a conversation with your friends and your family, even with your enemies, to talk about the power of the resurrection. Today is not the day to keep silent, to go your own way. Today is a day to create community, because community is what we will inherit in heaven forever. People who know Jesus Christ gathered together and doing the mission of Jesus Christ until eternity rolls on forever. A young woman diagnosed with cancer. Not too long ago, I met with her, and she didn't have long to live. The cancer had driven her into the presence of Christ, and she had given her life to Jesus Christ. As it happens in the grace of God, when she went for a test, the cancer was gone. But what she'd heard in the moment of her experience with the resurrected Christ and her new life was, my life is no longer my own. I'm dead to myself. I will now do the mission that Jesus has given me to do. It's no longer my life, but Christ's. And so that is where we are at today. An intimate gospel that speaks to those that are still here and those that have gone before, that calls us to tell each other about the resurrection of Christ, to wonder about the questions and to feel the pain. In Jesus Christ, you have a resurrection. Do you believe this? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, touch us with your powerful presence and bring us into your resurrection life so that our life will be made new as we walk with you into the future and into eternity. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.